Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
They blocked the kick, and they will survive and leave with an 11th consecutive win over the Bears. Crusher. Haven't seen a replay. Not sure that I want to.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
And it's blocked!
I just laughed.
You snickered as you were watching the TV.
I was in the worst mood for the duration of the 3 hours of that contest, and then that. All right.
Rest of the Sunday turned out all
right. I guess, right. Get a little bit more into the Packers 20-19 win over the Bears a little bit later this hour. I do want to get you some additional information for your health this morning. A couple of things going on with our food that is making people sick. Let me do this first. This is just coming to us this morning from the Milwaukee Health Department. The other is about the carrots and the E. coli, and I'll get you the information you need to know on that in a moment. But let's do the hepatitis A concerns in Milwaukee. The health department says there's an employee at a local restaurant who has a confirmed case of hepatitis A. So why that's important is when that person is around food. I don't know if you technically classify Hep A as a quote-unquote foodborne illness, but in the food preparation process, it can spread through contaminated food and water. So that's why it's a concern when you have a restaurant worker who has a confirmed case of Hep A. It's a contagious liver infection. I'll get you this from the Mayo Clinic here. It's caused by a virus that infects liver cells and causes inflammation. The inflammation can affect how your liver works and cause other symptoms of hepatitis A. Virus spreads, et cetera, et cetera. So usually the symptoms that you would feel would be gastrointestinal. So bad diarrhea and other things going on in the stomach. And this is tied to a worker at the Beans and Barley on Milwaukee's east side. Now, the Milwaukee Health Department is on top of it. They say there's no known transmission right now. They're not aware of this having spread to anyone else, but they wanted folks to be aware of that. Beans and Barley remains open. And the health department says there's no known risk to patrons, but they are going to offer free vaccinations in an effort to prevent further spread of the virus. It can spread person to person in a variety of ways, but through food is one of them. So that's why there's that concern. Totally unrelated to the situation right now where you have this outbreak again with E. coli. This time it's not onions. That was the McDonald's outbreak. This time it's organic carrots. And this is affecting grocery stores that you may shop in.
California-based Grimway Farms is recalling its organic carrots due to a possible E. coli outbreak. The CDC says dozens were sickened in 18 states. One person has died and at least 15 other people have been hospitalized. The carrots were sold under multiple brand names in grocery stores across the country, including Walmart, Publix, Target, and Whole Foods. Those who have the recalled carrots should throw them away or return them to the store for a refund. They should also clean and sanitize any surfaces the recalled produce came into contact with.
That's Matt Piper from CBS News on that report. Checking the latest numbers from the CDC, Eric, I do not see any cases in the state of Wisconsin that are tied to this outbreak. However, there are cases in Michigan and Minnesota, closest to our state. You do have 15 hospitalizations, as Piper reported there. One person has died. E. coli, very serious. This as well. E. coli is a naturally occurring bacteria, but if you get sick by ingesting it, it can cause serious complications. The deaths usually occur from something, and I've studied this because we've had a number of these outbreaks in southeast Wisconsin over the years that I've been working and reporting.
What was the big one, the Sizzler?
Sizzler was the one in the early 2000s where a little girl died here in southeast Wisconsin. And what happens is for those who become very sick from ingesting E. coli, they get what's called HUS, hemolytic uremic syndrome. It essentially causes the organs, primarily your kidneys, to shut down and stop functioning. And oftentimes that's irreversible. So if it progresses to that level of illness, it can kill you. Many other people who might be exposed to or even infected with E. coli might just weather it on their own. And so that's why very often in situations like this where we've got 39 reported cases, it's probably way more people who got some level of sick because of these carrots. But they didn't think anything of it at the time, or even now might think like, I wonder if that was why I didn't feel good a couple weeks ago. But they may not ultimately never report that to their local health authority. So if that's you, and again, we don't have any cases in Wisconsin that have been reported, but if you're looking back on having had those carrots in your fridge and haven't thought about that, and maybe you went through something, might be worth contacting your local health department, and they can get you through the proper channels from there.
It seems like E. coli has been in the headlines way too many times recently.
I, when doing that work with the Sizzler, Eric, and then a couple others, there was a small outbreak tied to the Ozaukee County Fair years later after that one. Also, mid-2000s, maybe. And that's another way, if you are petting livestock or whatever, if you're at the petting zoo and you don't properly wash your hands, there again, that's another way that these infections can spread. But I was working with this Seattle-based foodborne illness attorney. That's all he does is foodborne illnesses. And he handles cases like this. I wouldn't be surprised if he were in on this one. He definitely was looking to represent clients in the McDonald's case. But I remember him telling me just that it is inexcusable how prevalent these foodborne illnesses can be in our nation's food supply. He just found it inexcusable. And this was just him not talking on behalf of any clients, just as a person.
That it's because it's so easy to quell?
Yes.
So easy to prevent?
He says it absolutely should be prevented every single time. And then also, it causes him to make different choices. Like he said, there's certain foods and restaurants that he'll never order, certain things that he'll never buy, you know. And there's a guy who's living this every moment. So, you know, kind of like if you're an attorney in a certain thing, that's like, well, I tell people never to do this or whatever. It seems like he really had that lens on everything. But I just recall that he was just appalled at the level of or the number of outbreaks of foodborne illnesses. Salmonella is another one. It's usually tied to eggs. Yep. Or other things, and then that can be on produce. But what you need to know about this, the other important thing I want you to take away from Matt Piper's report from CBS News was if you would so happen to have had some of these carrots, and again, they're sold at Walmart and some other stores
Trader
that you
Joe's.
May shop. Right. So if you're looking back on it, you think you may have had that, make sure you're disinfecting all of those surfaces. Another way that E. coli can spread is from, so you have some infected product, whether it's a meat product or a produce, and that gets on your countertops, and then you put that away, and you're done with that, but then you go and slice something else, slice other produce, slice bread, whatever. It can spread from that surface onto your other food, and that's just another way you can ingest it. So his point about disinfecting any surfaces that may have come in contact with potentially contaminated food, that is a good rule of thumb.
Okay, so I'm in San Francisco in this Waymo. There's no one driving right now. They make turns, they blinker. This is some crazy stuff.
That is Telly Hughes from 101.7 The Truth, riding in a Waymo. So he was telling us last week, like, yeah, I got to ride in one of those. Basically, it's a driverless cab, and they have them in San Francisco. They have them in Phoenix, too. We have it on the live stream right now. Adam Roberts threw it up for us. If you text the word watch to 855-616-1620, you can see the video of Telly in this driverless car. Pretty cool situation to use. He tried to explain how it goes.
It works basically like an Uber, but this car shows up, and there's no one in the driver's seat. And you get in, and they're like, hey, welcome, Telly Hughes. And
so it talks to you.
Yeah, and so, you know, you put on your seatbelt, and they'll tell you, like, okay, it should take us, you know, 9 minutes to get to your destination. And it seems like you're very safe, but you just can't get over a car being driven by no one.
So where are you sitting? Are you in the back seat?
Yes, you are in the back seat, and you order it like an Uber. And so I decided to do it. I was walking distance back to my hotel because I said, you know, I don't know if I want to go too far in this thing. I mean, what if it traps me in and locks me in and takes me to San Jose somewhere?
Right, yeah.
You know, so you get in, you lock yourself in, and you know, it's really cool but eerie at the same time.
Is there a steering wheel?
Yeah, it's a regular car, and it just it goes just like someone is actually sitting in the driver's seat. But there's no one there. I don't understand it. That is technology that is way beyond my years or thinking, because I don't understand how it works, but it is pretty cool once you build up enough nerve to do it.
So I've been told that once you do it, it's amazing how quickly you become comfortable just like looking at your phone or maybe doing
That is very true, Eric, because once you get in, after you get over the shock factor that this car is being driven by no one, and then you see how safe it is, and you realize, like, hey, this is probably better than someone actually driving it, because if you've gotten in a lot of Ubers and Lyfts and whatever, every driver isn't the same. Let's just say that.
Some have bad days, you know.
Right. So that's the great point that you bring up. I don't think Waymo can have a bad day.
Does it talk to you?
Yeah, it'll talk to you. But the thing that I was always curious about is how can you compensate for the person that isn't driving correctly, or you got someone in the street, right, or things like that. And there's so many sensors around the car and cameras that it catches everything. Like if someone is about to jaywalk, like it knows when to stop and let somebody jaywalk. And so it is like, I don't know if when or what year it will reach Wisconsin, but it does seem like you are in another century when you get in one of those things.
Telly Hughes from 101.7 The Truth, riding in a driverless Waymo taxi cab.
I'll tell you my takeaway after having seen the video from Telly in a moment. First, though, can you request right now with an Uber or a Lyft, like whether you want the driver to chat with you? I thought I've heard that, like an option of like, you know, I like to talk or I don't like to talk or whatever. Like, could you select that in one of these Waymos? Like, yeah, I want small talk mode on.
Yes, I want to be asked a couple of questions.
So, why are you in town?
Right, yeah, I get that.
Are you enjoying the sights?
Oh, my God, that would drive me crazy.
How about today's weather?
Telling you jokes. Can you give me a riddle, please?
On your right, you will see the local county building.
Yeah, no, I don't want that.
No, you don't want small talk? No.
No.
The other thing is, I've been all for this. Like Telly said, you figure like a computer, a lot of bad drivers out there. Computer, whoa, what if the computer makes a mistake? People make mistakes all the time.
Right, yes.
Probably at a higher rate. So correct. I'd been on board until I saw the video from Telly inside that thing. And the steering wheel's just moving, and there's nobody there, and it's freaking me out.
That part is so funny. You see
it
the wheel move. You see, like, a blinker turn on. So, yes, very, very unique, but super cool.
I'd almost feel better if it was, like, some sort of bubble. Like, not really a car that didn't have a driver in it, but, like, you got in some sort of pod. Like, why does it have to be a car at all?
Why don't you want
it to be a car? Why can't it just be, like, a... like a Disney ride.
You're talking about different technology then. This tech we already have. We already know how to drive a vehicle. We already know how to build a vehicle. Now we've added this new feature that allows it to drive by itself. You're not going to just rebuild the entire thing.
I thought I was totally on board, and I'm looking at this right now, and I am spooked. Are you getting in that?
Oh, absolutely I am.
All right, I think I'm still getting in it.
Absolutely.
Why are they there and not everywhere else?
I think that was just pilot. And that's, you know, obviously...
So far, so good then, right?
Cities and states and counties all have to be on board as well, so...
All right, I'm tentatively on board. Still a little freaked out.
Waymo.
The customer is always right. My ass.
All right, so Thanksgiving travel season is upcoming. And, Vince, it's going to be a record breaker. That's right. Drivers will be driving.
AAA expects nearly 72 million will drive 50 miles or more, a record high up from last year and pre-pandemic numbers.
Ooh. So they just picked a number and said right. 72 million or more Americans will drive 50 miles or more this Thanksgiving Day holiday.
We should really look into the methodology on this.
I think they just come up with a number.
It's based on something, no?
I think the guy gets a memo saying, hey, we need to pick up a number because all the media is going to call us. Let's go with 80. We'll go with 80 million.
Tell them 80 million. What did we do last year? This is 78 million. Bump it up a few and let's go.
Well, I'm sure there's some algorithm of, okay, you go with gas prices, you go with the price for food, the price for flights, just different things that would lead you to believe that more people would drive to grandma's instead of flying to grandma's versus not going anywhere.
This all gets plugged into some sort of algorithm.
And then they ask Barney in accounting, and he goes, it's going to be $80 million. Okay, thank you, Barney.
No, maybe they go around and say, who wants to pick the BS number this year?
Oh, Joyce, you picked the straw. You get it. We're going to go with 80.
I mean, there's a method, right, Deb?
I'm sure
you know more about it than we do.
Exactly.
You do?
What? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Next time you talk, what's our guy over there? Nick at AAA. Next time you talk to Nick over there.
Oh, yeah.
Just to ask him, how do they come up with these numbers?
Come on. Give me the
numbers. For the prediction travel.
Tell me what it is.
Or ask Nick when it's his turn to come up with the BS number.
1 million drivers.
What number would actually prevent you from driving the grandma's? What number would say, hey, you know what? They said 95 million, so I'm staying home.
Out.
That's a
out
good
on that.
That's a good question to ask. Like, what is your breaking point? Very interesting.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. Suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
844 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Indeed. Man, some teams find a way to win, and some teams find a way to lose.
Correct.
And that properly characterizes the Chicago Bears.
1,000%.
All right. Go ahead, play the thing. I'm not even sure what I'm going to say to this. Should be smiling?
Yes. That was close.
Okay. Should feel better.
We should also point out, you find the negative, even if they won by three touchdowns, you'd be like, man, well, I don't know.
Nah, three touchdowns, I'm like, it's all clicking, we're all happening. Super Bowl, book your rooms, here we go. But that would, man, and not to be that guy, I'd rather be us today saying, like, boy, we almost didn't deserve to win that game, and having the W, then them down there going, we did everything we needed to do except finish it off.
Speaking of them, would you like to hear it?
Well, just let me give you the neutral first.
Okay, all right.
And it's blocked! Oh, my goodness, the Packers block it, and they're going to win!
Fox Sports here on the call. So the Bears were lining up for that 45-46-yard field goal to win it at Soldier Field.
KB almost sounded happy about it.
Green Bay survives!
Green Bay survives.
It almost sounded like he was had money on the game. I'm just kidding. But I'm teasing.
Spread was like Packers 6.5,
I think. The Bears covered, so a lot of people lost money on the game. But Packers get the W. Okay, so we have the call from the Bears Radio Network, our sister station down at Chicago, ESPN 1000. Here is how it sounded.
On cue from Cairo Santos, south end zone upright, snap, placement.
Oh, got
hit. Is blocked by the Green Bay Packers. They got the penetration, and they blocked the kick, and they will survive and leave with an 11th consecutive win over the Bears. Crusher. Haven't seen a replay. Not sure that I want to.
That's Joni.
All right.
Boy, you know what? Like, so
he saved it there at the end. I thought that was kind of a dull call, but it felt like just a man resigned to that outcome.
It sounded very sad. If it was PA up there in Minnesota, there'd be more screaming and
no!
upset.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Not that one. Oh well. Yep.
Yeah, that just sounded like a guy who's seen this movie before. Over and over again, and was not remotely surprised that this is how
but
it
see,
ends.
And this is, you've heard me say this before. There are times when you need to appreciate organizations, and this is one of those times. Because again, it's not a coincidence that the Browns, the Bengals, the Jets, the Bears are always bad. It's not a coincidence, not just odds. It's because of how these organizations are run. Trust me.
And maybe if you at home didn't feel like that was going to end that way, the Packers sort of did. I do think this is interesting.
Good call.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said the special teams coach, Rich Bisaccia, had seen vulnerabilities in the Bears' kicking game. Thought the kicks were coming out low, thought they could exploit the blocking scheme by the Bears, and indeed, that's what happened.
Rich said to our team last night, I will not understand if we come out of this game without a block, whether field goal or PAT. So great job by our special teams coaches.
There's something about manifesting, right? You hear that a lot now.
Yeah.
Manifest.
Absolutely.
If you believe something, put it out into the universe and then just make that happen. Granted, it took him till that last play of the game, but that was the one.
So you think Goody calls LaFleur up to the office? So what was with that going for it on fourth down there?
So that's interesting. I think I don't abide many fans with the, oh, the play calling was terrible. Like, because I played 3 years of high school football, and, you know, like, and I'm among them. I'm sitting there at home going, why are we doing this? But like, if I'm being honest, would I put my name and reputation behind suggesting that I know more about which plays to call than these professionals? Of course not. And some fans are like that. Well, the play calling was suspect. We should have done this off of, no. I don't know. But you can question decision making, I think. And that, what was it? Fourth down.
At least 5 yards.
And at least 5 yards. Let me find that LaFleur bite where he talks about why he decided to go for it. Let me see. I know I got it, E.
It's because they were playing the Bears. That's what he said, right? Well, you know, we were playing Chicago. Wouldn't it be great if that's what his response would have been? Well, I kind of knew because of the team we were playing against.
Okay, here, I got it.
I didn't know when we were going to get the ball back, and typically, I don't know what all you analytical people say out there, whether you should go for it, kick it. I just thought.
Wait, just let me just pause you there, Coach. We were saying kick the field goal, but okay, continue.
You know, we're on the 5 yard line. Let's go for it. We're down 5 points, you know, and with the hope that at worst case scenario, we'll get a stop and get the ball back with pretty good field position.
Okay, so he's saying, look, we're rolling. We're here. Don't know if we're going to get the ball back.
I definitely think it depends on who you're playing, too. I don't know if he's doing that against other teams that are much, much better.
Sure. You doing that against the Kansas City Chiefs? Right. Who are going to march, whom you know are going to march down the field on
or
you?
Or
you
does
do
that
against Detroit?
Does that prompt you
Minnesota?
To do it again, though? You know, depending on who you can stop and who you can't.
So it wasn't just, I mean, there's always a reason. Right. Your head coach is always, you at least want to know your coach has gone through a process.
Right.
And that there was a reason, agree or disagree with the decision that's ultimately made and certainly the outcome. There was a reason, there was a thought process there of like, let's stick it in here and not worry about whether or not we're going to get that possession that we would ultimately need to go ahead. Because we still would have been behind a point then, mm-hmm. yeah? Or two? Was it 19? It was 19-14 at that point, so it could have been 19-17.
Right, yes.
And then you just need a field goal.
Yes, yeah.
Right. What I didn't like about that is Bears marched on down.
You know who I liked about from that game? I thought Tom Brady had himself a good game.
I agree with you. I think one of my bold-a-thon predictions with Tausch was that he was going to be terrible as a commentator.
I feel like
he's
gotten
growing.
Better. I've seen him a couple of games now, just some of the other national games. Mm-hmm. I've watched him, and I feel like he's... had a lot of explanation, was predicting things before they were happening. Thought he did a good job.
That's what I need from that guy. I don't need to hear about all the times that you did this and you did that.
Right. You don't need to be Tom Brady.
Right. You got a lot of rings.
Yeah. Use your brain.
But
tell us why you know what's going to happen.
I think Romo's really good at that. Aikman, not as much anymore because it's been so long since he's been
in
the league, right? But
it's
he doesn't
tough.
See the same things. But
right.
Romo definitely, and hopefully, you know, he'll become that where you see things that we can't see, that we don't see, and you know what's going to happen before it does.
And to be honest, you like him being critical of the players. You like him being critical of Jordan Love instead of just, you know, blowing smoke up everybody. You know, he's such a great player. You're pulling the Collinsworth and just saying why every player is amazing. Kind of like Brady being hard on these guys.
And lest any of those guys have a problem with that. He can just show him his two hands full of rings and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I can't criticize you."
First of all, we will never, ever apologize for winning this league. Never. All right.
Haven't seen a replay. Not sure that I want to.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 56 degrees today with rain moving in this afternoon. Here's the thing. It's Winter Weather Awareness Week, and it appears the forecast will oblige.
I don't think it's that bad.
No, but it's going to turn. I played golf Sunday and had all the feels of probably the last time.
There is something in the air.
It's mid-November, and you're looking at midweek by Wednesday, our high temperature Wednesday, 46 degrees. High on Thursday, 43. Friday's high, 44. So maybe we've turned.
Did you get my text about the football game before you watched the football game?
I was on about an hour and a half delay.
So did you read it or no? I didn't realize.
I'm very careful.
You seem pretty good about that.
I've got the media blackout down. Okay. I haven't watched a game in real time since I don't know when.
Me neither.
I'm pulling it off.
I was late on it too, but I beat you.
Yeah. No, I disregard your text until after, and then I come and catch up. So a win is a win is a win is what they say.
Yes.
But some wins are better than others. We'll take it.